Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for another round of racing and rocking with Dragnest.com. Staging in the wet plane is your host, founder and creator of the Draglist, Bill Wright. And in the right lane, John, the Wildcat One. You're going to hear news and interviews from the world of drag racing, both now and then. So get yourself situated, pull your belts tight, grab your favorite beverage, and get ready for some racing and rocking.
Everybody, welcome to Racing and Rocking with Draglist.com, produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. I'm Bill Pratt. It's great to be with you tonight because tonight we feature nostalgia funny car racer Mark Horvath. I'll ask some racing questions, John will ask some rocking questions, and we're going to have a good time. You can join our live chat during the show. Go to racersreunion.com or pop up to Facebook, where we are broadcasting live simultaneously on the Draglist.com fan page. Without further ado, welcome to the show, Mark Horvath.
Thank you, gentlemen.
So great to have you on. Oh, man, great to have you on. Of course, we've enjoyed your family's race cars all the way back. I'm counting back to like 2001, the first time I saw the damn Yankee Vega. Was that the first year you were out with that car?
Pretty close. We had started testing it in late... I want to say late 99, we had it out once at our local track, and then 2000, we were working a lot of bugs out of it. So, yeah, we hit it pretty good 2001 on.
Yeah, it's, you know, that puts you as one of the oldest nostalgia funny cars out there. I mean, you guys were right there at the beginning of this deal, and very, very cool.
Yeah, it was... We did a lot of match racing with the Klingerman brothers out of Bourbon, Indiana, because they're only about 25, 30 miles away from us, and we beat up every track we could. Then we met up with Dennis Salzwimmer that was building the Monza at the time, and It kind of took off from there. We picked up Rocky along the way and the Hallett family, and we've just been going nonstop ever since.
Yeah, next thing you know, you had a circuit. Well, you've had three great funny cars over the years, the Damn Yankee Vega, the Gold Coast Charger, the Mopar Missile 78 Challenger, which we just saw at Keystone Raceway Park. So we'll walk through those cars a little bit later on, but tell us about the team. The Horvath family, Dad Chuck, started driving the Vega a long time ago, and I think Brother Brad turning the wrenches and you at the wheel for the majority of the time. Tell us how the team works together.
Oh, yeah. It's all... Well, it actually started way before me. Mom and Dad used to crew for Ridge Zabel on his B-gas and A-gas supercharged Willys back in the 60s.
Wow.
They used to go on dates up to Martin or wherever Dick was match racing. Huh. And then Dad and Mom took us up to the Pop Rod meet in 78 in the U.S. Nationals, and it's been a whirlwind ever since. Basically, Dad found this car. Actually, Brad found it in Auto and RV. And Dad's pretty picky, and I try to be like him every chance I get. I mean, when I was a kid, I thought, let's just do this. And he won't. He was a tool and die maker by trade, and everything's got to be right. And
right.
Brad found this, the Vega, in Auto and RV, and he saw it's a piece of junk somebody's cobbled over, and it was still in there 2 weeks later, and Brad said, it's still in there. They drove down about 20 miles away from here. Guy opened the barn up, and everything was brand new. Brand
wow.
new, 25 years old.
Right.
Dad looked at it and said, put it in the truck, whatever he wants for it. And that's not
wow.
my dad.
Wow.
My dad, when he gets through with a penny, the heads and tail are on the same side. And reaction like that was... And we took it down the very first time to get the chassis updated. And Hal Canode seen everything under the sun.
Yeah.
And he said, he just looked at it for 10 minutes. And he said, boy, do you know what you got here? He said, "That's a brand new piece."
Wow.
I said, "Yeah, it's it sat in a guy's barn. He had a sponsorship from a trailer factory in 78. He got everything rounded up, and the trailer factory went under. And the guy tried for 20 years to get the car on the track. And Dad told Bill, he said, when we take this, get this out on the track, he said, I'm going to come get you. And Bill looked at my dad and said, I never want to see that thing again. It broke my heart.
No kidding.
It's been breaking hearts ever since.
Well, do you remember the fellow's name?
Bill Nieder.
Bill Nieder.
Some town just south of Goshen, Indiana.
No kidding. The car was the car painted as the O'Donnell car? You know, the damn Yankee, or was it just brand new?
No, me and my brother came up with that with Dad, because that first Pop Rod meet that we went to, there was a Gray Primer Mustang up there. That was just, I mean, the car never went straight. There were header sparks. And he was beating everybody. We got back to the pits and started talking to him. And it was the damn Yankee, the last damn Yankee, before it was painted, because a week or two after it got painted, they burned it down. And that kind of stuck in, you know, two 10-year-old kids' minds that that's what we wanted.
Wow.
And we tried it as a tribute, not a clone or anything else. That's why we put Dad's name on it and didn't put the stars on it. We didn't want to step on anybody's toes, but that car right there hooked me and my brother at 8 and 10 years old.
Yeah, I know what it's. I know what you mean. So O'Donnell had gone to a Mustang then?
Yes.
For a short. No kidding. I'll be darned. I did not know that. That's a new thing learned here tonight.
Yep.
Well, really awesome. You guys are, you know, in the Vega, like say, you know, out there in 21, or you brought us up to speed tonight, worked out some bugs in 2000, but man, serious 690s and 70s everywhere you've gone, pretty much. You know, low 73s if the track wasn't right, you know, a little bit older, but that car's been nailing it left and right for, oh my gosh, over 15 years now.
We tried. We originally started out with the all-iron 392. And the best we could do, I think I dipped a 40 before I threw a crank out of it, but basically 50s, because Dad built it according to a set of rules that NHRA put out a long time ago. They were going to try to start a class, and it was iron motor or iron heads, one or the other, and only 20% on the overdrive, and that's how we built it for 2000. Uh-huh.
Right.
And the next thing we know, we're running up against 500-inch Chevys, and I think I threw the crank out of 392s. Me, Brad, and Dad looked at each other and said, you know, these things are 60 years old.
Right.
Klingerman Brothers had a Hemi motor that they didn't want nothing to do with, and it's been glorious ever since.
So is it just a 426 in there?
Yes, sir. Keith Black, stage 3. Ken Black told Dad it was probably cast in 81 or 82. The heads are old Dart heads. We're friends with Steve Sanchez.
Uh-huh.
They were actually cast by Dart, and Total Flow went through them. And he just shook his head, and he said, I can't believe you got those heads, and they're still good. And yeah, the newest thing on the car is the paint and the tires. And actually, the wheels, if you ever see the car at the track, the front wheels still got a ink mark on the Kreggers that's stamped 1977.
Unbelievable. I love it. Well, what's the best time with that? I know of a 696 as far back as 08, and I know that that's what you try for. Have you ever been in the 80s with it, or what's the best times?
690 flat 3 times at Keystone last year.
Awesome.
And that was, we were still trying to slow it down. We had rebuilt the motor the winter before, and we ran in bad air all year. And now I might have to retract that because we finally hit good air toward the end of the year at Joliet. Mm-hmm. And I think I might have won in 89 there or 91. But the three back-to-back 90s at Keystone was probably the best. But cool. We had already started slowing it down. The motor was getting pretty tired, and we had to blow her up to almost 50% trying to keep up on the 7.0s.
Right.
And then after the rebuild, we're currently down to like 19% now trying to slow it down.
Have you eclipsed 200 a couple times? The most I've seen is 190s, but I don't get to see you guys everywhere.
No, 199.9 at Keystone was the best. That's
wow.
The new car I'm hoping to... the new car's got a little bigger cubic inch motor and blower. I'm going to try to get more mile an hour out of it.
Right.
Right now...
Go ahead.
With the we're running a 1071 on the damn Yankee, and that's... That motor's only 433 cubic inch. It's got a stock arm, 30 overbore, and a cam. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, my main goal is to run 7-flat with the GLNFCC. I met right. Denny 12, 13 years ago, and he's done more than any person has for the movement, and, you know, what he says goes, and that's my main goal. Maybe sometime when I get the new car squared away, I'll take it out to a track and let her rip. We used to do that in the old days, and now the bigger the groups got, they get kind of offended if they're not at the race where we take the limit off and just run out. And
right.
We stick to the 7.0 cap, and it works great. That car loves it.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Well, tell us about the Gold Coast Charger. Now, it's another venerable name, a big old gigantic Charger body from the late 70s there. But is that the same car? I know they're both Ken
thing.
Cox cars. Is that the same chassis?
It is actual Don Nave's Gold Coast Charger that was campaigned back in the 70s. The body was cast by Cooper Hayden, and he only made 6 or 8 of them. Brad got in touch with Cooper back when we started the project and got a hold of his wife because when we were doing the body work, we found his business card in the glass. And his wife kind of warned Brad that, you know, he was getting dementia and stuff. And Brad thought, well, I don't want to bother him. And he said as soon as Cooper got on the phone, he knew where every one of them bodies went. He knew the exact weight they come out of the mold. And it was just unbelievable. And Brad got him on Facebook, and he tags him when we do good with the body and stuff. And
well,
a lot of the old crew from the Gold Coast Chargers friends with us. Actually, the motor and the Mopar missile came from the painter that's down in Florida. He's seen what we did with it, and they were running a dragster that they couldn't run anymore, and he said, hey, I got another Keith Black, and we went down and got it.
That's but great. So those
I enjoy
those
driving
are...
that. Yeah, you can see out of it. The body's a lot bigger. The Vega is the latest. That was the last Vega body ever made by Cox Vinny. It's chopped, narrowed, laid back. It's the latest and greatest in the Charger. It's like driving a streetcar. I can see out all the windows, and it's like driving around in a Lincoln or something. And as far as performance, I don't notice that much of a difference. We threw it all together. It was busted up pretty bad, and Brad and I were green to fiberglass, and Dennis Salzwimmer and Bill Hallett come down and helped us piece it all back together, and we thought, man, we kind of took it up to Martin when we did the Funny Car Nationals up there 5-6 years ago, and Brett said, let's throw this on for a test pass to see if it'll fly apart.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
he said, just do a half pass, and that never works with me. And I started to let up, laid back into it, and ran a 724 with it.
Yeah.
So
well, I've seen it
I don't
at least
in the aerodynamic
96
difference.
With that car, right? I mean, that thing's been in the 90s as well, hasn't it? At about
oh,
a
yeah.
buck 96.
Yep.
Wow.
It'll run the same numbers as the Vega.
And again, let me make absolutely sure. Is it the same chassis or two different cars?
The Vega and the Gold Coast Charger is the same chassis.
Got
the
it.
Mopar Missile is its own chassis with the Challenger body. And we also got, my brother's got a project from another one of the crew guys that crewed with the Gold Coast guys. And he's got the original Gold Coast Duster body that's going to be made to go with the Challenger.
Cool. That's a good-looking paint job. You can make that stuff look like that. That'll be cool.
Oh, yeah. He's going to have his work cut out for him.
So are you guys planning to put them side-by-side on the track one of these days?
Well, yes and no. And I had three wonderful junior dragster drivers, and my daughter, son, and my nephew actually won two championships up at 131 Martin in the juniors. And
nice.
At one time, I was kind of worried they were going to try to knock me off for the job. And now they've gotten older and gotten different jobs and different directions. But yeah, hopefully we're going to put one of the kids in one of the cars. I got one nephew that's 18 now that's really interested in cars, and he's been helping me this year. And yeah, we'd like to put them side by side because the Mopar Missile's got Mom's name on it.
Uh-huh.
Mom came down with ovarian cancer about 3 years ago, and we didn't know. She kind of started getting grumpy with us, and I was kidding with her one day because the car stayed down at Dad and Mom's shop. I said, "Are you going to have that all polished up for us?" And she just kind of snipped at me, and she said, "My name isn't on any of them cars." And so she didn't know. The car was painted and brought back, and I put a teal stripe up the hood for ovarian cancer. Mm. And she just started crying. And Don Nave out of Columbia City, he's our painter. He's runs the Red Front Engine Dragster in the NDRL, and
yeah.
She hugged him and hugged everybody, and she said, "Well, what are you going to name it?" I said, I don't know. So the painter come over, and we named it Kay's Mopar Missile for her, and that was one of the big reasons. I knew if I took the Vega, I could be a contender at Keystone this year, but
yeah.
With the race being televised, I wanted her to see her car go down the track.
Well, we loved it. It was brand new. A nice debut. We talked to you. Of course, you had Kepner there talking about it, and I was right there next to him listening to the whole thing. So it was cool. You know, new car bugs, you're never going to, you know, no one's going to come out and run, you know, 650s first thing out of the box with a brand new car. So.
No. A lot of guys said, "Well, you built it." And I said, "Yeah, so I'm, nobody's perfect."
Yeah.
Some people just don't realize, you know, this is what our family does. My mom, my wife, my kids, my dad, my brother. You know, I'm a union electrician by trade, and people don't understand. I spend 4 or 5 nights a week in the shop with that car, getting it ready.
You just don't buy them and mash the pedal and go. I mean, it's amazing what it takes to keep these things running, and that's why, you know, so impressive when someone can do it consistently.
Yep, and like I said, Dad's tool and die maker background, and, you know, my little brother tunes it better than I could ever tune it. He started out actually driving it, and it was too hard to try to drive and tune, so he threw me in there, and away we went. He's had a lot of experience with a lot of people. He helped a guy with alcohol dragster and all kinds of cars.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mark, you guys are doing a great job, and we're running out of time. We absolutely got to get you back because there's so much more to talk about, but let's talk about a little bit of music tonight. Let me turn it over to John Bachman and for the rocking part of the show.
All right.
Thanks, VP. Mark, we'd like to know what y'all's favorite kind of music is.
I don't have a favorite kind.
Is that right?
I work with a bunch of young kids, and they look at my iPod at work, and they're like, is there nothing you don't listen to? I listen from the 50s till today.
Well, that's the best thing to do, I can tell you that. Yeah.
And, you know, I get in the car with somebody, and unless they got that new country music, now I draw a line there. But I like rock music. I mean, Dad's, when we were young, took us to a Beach Boys concert and Johnny Rivers. And I've been to Ozfest a couple times. I hit the map all over with that. But if I'm really wanting to get pumped up for a race, it's definitely some heavy metal. I'd have Rob Zombie.
All right. I was going to ask you about that. If you know, when you're on your way to the races, or if it's race day and you're getting ready to go out there and compete, if you ever had a song that you think about, you know, that gets you fired up to go out there with.
Oh, yeah, Dragula and probably Motley Crue.
All right, man.
Nice, hard, fast beat gets my mind off everything and pumped up.
How about concerts? Oh, you had mentioned you went to Ozfest a couple of times.
Oh, yeah.
Man, yeah, that's
Ozfest
cool.
And ZZ Top, and I've been to Johnny Rivers and the Beach Boys.
Yeah, we saw ZZ Top.
Phil when she was at a county fair. So,
who's this?
Like I say, I like it all.
Oh, wow, man, that's great. Well, all of it's great, and I agree with you about the modern country music. I can't really relate to any of it that they're doing. It doesn't make sense to me, because classic country is so meaningful and it's so important.
And Johnny Cash, Merle Haggard, and even the older ones, Hank Williams, you know, Roy Clark, Glenn Campbell. Glenn Campbell was a Beach Boy at one time.
He was. In fact, I was just talking to Danny White here, and Glenn played guitar with Ricky Nelson's band for a while. Actually, he was behind the scenes. He was giving James Burton and Phil Upton some tips and teaching them some riffs that they could play on Ricky's songs. And yeah, that guy, Glenn Campbell, he'd been to the mountaintop before he ever became a TV star. He was already, you know, solidly entrenched in the music industry as a major talent. He was great. Absolutely great.
Well, that sounds like a segue to me, John. We're talking to a man solidly entrenched in the nostalgia funny car, you know, history.
You got that right, BP,
Mark,
for sure.
It's been so great to talk to you tonight. I absolutely got to get you back on, because I feel like we could have talked all night. And And just all the best to you and to Chuck and to Brad and everybody at Mom, certainly, and all the best to her with her health. And, you know, come back and talk to us one of these days.
Anytime. Just give me a call. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. Mark Horvath, folks, the damn Yankee, the Gold Coast Charger, and the Mopar Missile. You'll be seeing him somewhere at a track near you. Adios, sir.
Thank you.
All right, let's turn it over to John Bachman for this week's JB's Take and the Racer of the Week.
Thanks, BP. My pick for Racer of the Week is Tyler Brooks from Prophetstown, Illinois. I found Tyler when I was looking through one of Jay Wilson's albums on the Quad Cities Drag Racers page on Facebook. I was immediately fascinated by his awesome orange 81 Monte Carlo Mod Pro Hot Rod. I decided to feature him. I sent him the graphic, and he accepted, and I'm thanking you for that, Tyler. Tyler Brooks got hooked on bracket racing when he was in high school, and all his buddies would run at the Battle of the High School Races at Cordova International Raceway, and then he started racing high school points races and just continued working his way into some bigger classes. He said, once you get the bug, you can't stop, and I sure know how that goes. He bought the black Monte Carlo off a good friend named Derek Snodgrass for $600, and over the years he's been upgrading it. As it is now, it's been painted hugger orange with white stripes. Tyler said he's glad to be past that stage of the rebuild, but the results speak for themselves. It's not only a great race car, it's also top show quality. The motor is a 406 cubic inch small block Chevy with a Power Glide transmission and Pro Brake with a safety shield. It has a 9-inch rear end with 411 gears and an 8-point cage. Tyler's best ET is a 1060 at 124 miles an hour, but usually he said the car runs 1080s to 1090s. Some accomplishments are a Battle of the High Schools win and a runner-up spot in a few bracket races, but he's still hunting for that first race win, and he's getting close. His goals are to win his first race outright, and he said he would sure love to have an Iron Man or a Wally, but he added, who wouldn't? You got that right, Tyler. He sends special thanks out to his mom and dad, to Ariel Hamstra, Craig Adams, Bob Cram, Larry Black, Derek Snodgrass, and Roger at OTR Tire. Tyler, we look forward to hearing about your upcoming win with that fine hot rod, and we wish you good luck, safe racing, and the best of times in the future. I'd also like to send congratulations to our last racer of the week, David Debutiaco, in Maui, Hawaii. David won the championship in Pro Bike for this season. Congratulations, David. Back to you, BP.
Thank you, John. JB's take, and the racer of the week, outstanding as always. I don't have any lost friends to report today, but we just haven't got together on that. If that's the case, I'm happy about that. Of course, I don't know if everybody heard about Tom Petty, John. I guess the reports have been mixed as folks have tried to get it out there really, really fast, and apparently has not passed away. Last I heard, it was just still on life support, but...
He's hanging in there. It's too bad that the news media did that, but I fell for it, and I posted on my Facebook page that I gave a tribute to him, and that I mean the tribute with all my heart to Tom Petty. He was one of the greatest musicians who ever lived, but he is still living, and we have to respect that, give him the privacy that he deserves, and wait for the facts to come out before you start making headlines, man. Yeah,
we'll do that. But we do, we will send our love and sympathies and condolences, of course, to all the victims and the families of the victims out in Las Vegas.
Yes,
our
absolutely.
Friend Larry Clayton on the chat with us tonight, and who lives out there. So a tough blow for that town, and indeed for America. And so condolences and all the best to everybody. Let's go ahead and wrap up the show, folks. I want to thank Mark Horvath, who was great. I got to get him back on. The words just flow. It's like Ben Tracen in the pits. It was wonderful. John Bachman, of course, Danny White, Jeff and Dustin, Gilbert, Barb Santucci, Bud, Mr. Dragon's DeVore. We will see you next Monday night, where my guest will be East Coast fuel funny car veteran Ray Brickhouse, the original U.S. mail. Did you know about that? That's who we're going to have on. Have a great week, everyone. Take care out there, and we'll see you next time.
I'm going home where he can't get me. Spend all my life trying to be free.